Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look at me to the book of Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. We'll be reading verse 6 down to the end of the chapter, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 62. If you would, go ahead and stand with me if you found it, and if you're able to stand, we'll read the Word of God together as I read. You follow right along with me. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. They that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, and what a blessing it is to be in church. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available to each one that's taken advantage of it, that is here today. And for what we've already experienced, just being in thy house, what a blessing. But as we've opened the very scriptures that you have preserved for us, we read here in this book of Isaiah, I pray, God, that you would prepare us to receive that which you have for us through the preaching and the teaching of this passage. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 10, we find that Isaiah says something here that I believe is something that we need to look at and be strengthened by today. He says, lift up a standard for the people. Standard of life. Lift up a standard for the people. Now, as we do a little bit of review and understanding what we have here is Isaiah was a prophet of God. He prophesied during the great Babylonian and Assyrian empires that took place on earth around 780 to 680 B.C., and so about 700 years before Jesus Christ would actually come. Now, that's been about 2,700 years ago, because he came some 2,000 years ago. And so we find that this was what was taking place on planet Earth during a Babylonian Assyrian empires. Isaiah was tasked at that time with warning the southern kingdom of Israel, known as Judah, to turn back to God or face captivity. Now that theme has somewhat been throughout humanity's history. Either turn back to God or face judgment. Chapters 60 through 66 of Isaiah records prophecy of the church age, which would be established by the Lord Jesus Christ when he would come, all the way through the future glory of Jerusalem, where Jesus will establish a millennial reign for that 1,000 years. That's what millennium is. And so as we look here, just to give you a little insight into this, in chapter 60, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Gentiles coming to the light. Gentiles believing in the God of Israel. Gentiles being able to be saved. Now, that's something the Old Testament Jews never did understand. When Christ came, he would reveal that the Gentiles shall come to the light. It would not be fully understood until Christ would come to reveal that God so loved the world. And that all humanity would have an opportunity to become the children of God. Well, chapter 61, this is prophesied 700 years before Jesus would come. In chapter 61 and verse 1, this is what Isaiah would write. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So Isaiah is prophesying this to the nation of Israel. They don't even understand fully. But now we look in Luke in chapter 4. We won't turn that. But Luke chapter 4, Jesus, when he comes, he quotes this saying in Isaiah. He quotes it. And then he says this: "This day is this scripture fulfilled." So Jesus himself bringing light into the prophecies of Isaiah, helping the people to know that they were prophesied for his coming. So then we get to chapter 62 and what we have read this morning as our text. In verse 6 he says, "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent." Those who make mention of the Lord are not to keep silent. Not only in Isaiah's day, those that would be watchmen warning the nation of Israel, but when Christ would come, the watchmen would be established as the believers who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those who would be commissioned to go into all the world. And so all of those that are looking to carry out the Great Commission through the church are known as watchmen. If you're saved here this morning, then you could put yourself in that category. You are a watchman for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to the watchman in verse 11, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world." There's not going to come a day when we don't have to warn the world. There's not going to come a day when we will have not been commissioned to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. "Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people." Not just the nation of Israel, but now we find in this church age, the Gentiles have been brought into the picture. And now all those who have received Jesus Christ are known as the redeemed of the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. So today, and there's so much here, but focusing today on verse 10. Lift up a standard for the people. And this is to be unto the end of the world. God has expectation for life, for people on the earth, unto the end of the world. In the Old Testament, it's quite obvious, the law was a standard for the Old Testament saints, Israel. The law was a standard. Now, that was his expectation for his people. And then Christ came. And ever since Jesus came, God manifested in the flesh, the standard for Christianity, which then would be for the rest of the world, if they want to know Christ as Savior, and they want to live as to please the Creator God, is a standard. Jesus Christ is the standard for the world until the end of the world. Not man's interpretation of Christianity, but what the Bible reveals. Because the Bible being the very words that God has had written down and preserved for humanity. So a standard, I'll give you a definition, a measure or model serving as an established rule, having fixed value. That's what God wants us to lift up for the people until the end of the world. There has always been, God has always made known unto humanity what his standard is for every dispensation of life. God has made known to the people of the earth what his standard is. Today, to suggest that Jesus would condone, support, or promote anything that would be in opposition to the Bible would be a departure from the standard. Even though it might be under the disguise of Christianity, we don't get to determine the definition for Christianity. Jesus Christ established that. His life is a standard. The Bible is what he has left for us to know him. And so it has become the standard by which we ought to look to and live and then lift up for the people of the world. Yeah. As watchmen, we cannot keep silent. What good would we be if we kept silent? We're no longer watchmen. We have failed to be a watchman. Now, that being said, I trust you understand, this is exactly where we're at, and that's what's going on in the world today, but I do not like extremes. Politics, which is connected with government, I understand why we need it. No doubt it's in Scripture. And we are to honor the king and we are to respect the government. The Bible reveals to us in order to have a civilized society, there has to be rules, there has to be laws. In order there to be rules and laws that people abide by, then there has to be government. But as we look back over the history of humanity, can I tell you, there have always been extremes in government. There has always been extreme to the left where they want to control everything. But there's also extremes to the right where they do not even want to acknowledge the need for government. And every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. When there is no law, when there is no king, when there is no government, you see, then every man will do that which is right in his own eyes, and you have total chaos. Because if I took a poll as to, in every different subject, as to what you thought was right, I cannot tell you that there would be disagreement. Even in this independent fundamental Baptist church, there would be huge disagreements. Unless we had a standard to look to. See, government works when it uses the Bible as a standard. This great United States of America was established, and the government of this great United States of America looked to the Bible as a standard that made this nation great. And we turn away from the Bible as being the standard, you'll find that this nation will no longer be great. Extremes, left and right. Taxes. I hate extremes and taxes. Well, the race today and the politics today, there is extremes. There's that extreme left that wants to tax or just take all your money and distribute it the way they think it needs to be distributed. But then you have the other extreme that say, no, I don't want to pay any taxes whatsoever, but you want to have good roads and you want to have all the things that taxes are used to give us. There's extremes. Can I tell you that I hate extremes? I want a standard by which I can look to and base my life upon and be blessed. God promises to bless his standard. I hate extremes in food. Yeah. I see what too much food can do. And I've seen what not enough food can do. And the people that don't have enough food think that they have too much. Sometimes, you know, it becomes something that they're possessed by. And I've seen both. And I don't like either one. I like a healthy body. I like a standard by which I need food. But I do not let food control me. Every now and then I have to go on a diet just to be able to reel in the physical appetite. Amen? Because I'm not going to let food control me. There's got to be a standard. Muscles. Now, just think about it. Extremes in both directions. I don't like extremes. I don't think you can. It's good to have extremes going left. I don't think it's good to have extremes going right. I've seen people with no muscle at all, and they look like skeletons. And I'm thinking, no, I don't want that. But then I've seen people that have done nothing. Their whole life is focused on building muscle, and they go too far. just go too far, what they think is going to be attractive becomes ugly. There should be a standard. A standard to keep us in line. A standard is will help us so that we don't go too far to the right or too far to the left. We need to have a standard. Can I tell you that in everything in life, there has to be a standard? But the most serious, the most important is our spiritual standard. Christianity will not be productive and it will not please God if it goes to the extremes. You look back over the history of humanity, God has always had a standard, and what has messed it up is mankind going to the extremes with those standards. To the place that we try to overcome and we go overboard in trying to make up for past failures. God has always loved women as much as he has man. The Bible reveals that to us. He is no respecter of persons. But you look back in history, and yes, I believe that women have been taken advantage of over different centuries. But it's not because of God. It's because of man's extremes. Even in church, even when it comes to so-called Christianity, they have made up their own standards instead of staying by the standards that God established. There is no doubt that God has made us different. There's nothing wrong with being different. There's everything right with being different. I don't want to marry somebody like me. I don't want to marry somebody that looks like me, that acts like me. I praise God that God gave me somebody that's different. Yeah. Extremes. Now, though, if you know the biblical standard, and I think that Jesus brought that standard. He helped us to understand what was even a standard in the Old Testament. It was never God's will for a man to have more than one wife, but they went to the extremes. God had to allow it for whatever reason that God had at that time, but Jesus brought it back in and said, that's not the standard. The standard is for one man to have one wife for life and one woman to have one man for life. That's the standard. And we could go on and on over all the failures in the Old Testament with the standards, and we can go on and on over the last 2,000 years, the failures of Christianity with the standards, but we can't do anything about the past where we're at today. We need to focus on God's standards for life. Matter of fact, we must lift up a standard, his standard, for the people. Because behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. There's a standard that the Bible says, go through the gates. In that very same verse, he reveals that to be lift that up as a standard. There's a standard for salvation. It's not based on man's thoughts. Because religion today has made up a standard and what they're trying to convince people they need to do in order to be saved, in order to have a home in heaven. And it varies. But the Bible doesn't vary on that. Jesus Christ made it very plain and simple. There's only one way. And that's through him. He taught Matthew chapter 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Can I tell you, the Sermon on the Mount is standards for New Testament Christianity. It's a blessing. And on Sunday nights, when I've been preaching on Sunday nights, we've been in the Beatitudes. We'll be in the Beatitudes tonight. Standards. God's expectations for believers. That's a standard. He's establishing standards and attitudes. And if you want to have God's blessings, this is the standard. This is the attitude. This is what we need to look to be. So we look here in Matthew chapter 7, this idea, the standard for our salvation, going through the gates. What is he talking about there? We know that he was prophesying, but Jesus came and he fulfilled the prophecies. And he gives us something here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He says, enter ye in at the gate, the straight gate. Go through the gates. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. They're not going through the gate of salvation that God has established. They're not looking to the standard of salvation that God has established. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That is a sad saying, right? Statement right there. Now he's not looking to just the different beliefs in Christianity, he's looking into all the world. And those that are being taught about Buddhism, or those that have been taught about Muhammad, those around the world that are being taught in different directions, and they're making up their own standard. And Jesus says, there's only one. Now that's, if I would say that, then you could say, who do you think you are? If Jesus says that, he knows who he is. He's God. God can establish the standard. Matter of fact, God has established the standard concerning salvation. It is not based on Baptists. It's not based on my belief. It's the Bible that makes me Baptist. It's the Bible that helps me to know what I am to believe and to lift it up for other people to understand. There's only one way to be saved. And yes, it is straight and narrow. Because there's no other way. There's no other entrance into heaven than through Jesus Christ and his precious shed blood. He would also say in verse 21 of that very same chapter, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Truly saved, salvation leads to works. You don't work to be saved, but once you're saved, you're going to be convicted to work. What is the work? To lift up the standard. To live as to please to God. Yeah. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? It's not about prophecy. In thy name. And in thy name have cast out devils. It's not about fighting the devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. It's not about works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That was your standard. My standard didn't determine you to do anything, but simply have faith to believe and receive the free gift of everlasting life. Yeah. Standard for salvation. Go through the gates. There's a standard for evangelism. Jesus came and established right off the bat worldwide evangelism. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not just the Jews, but Gentiles as well. We've already seen that in prophecy. He came to seek and to save the world. That whosoever that would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there is a standard by which we were to evangelize. It says, prepare ye the way. The way for people to come to Christ. Cast up, gather out. All those things were a standard for evangelism. To help people to get saved. To help people to get saved. As a Lighthouse Baptist Church, we want to help people to get saved. You know, one of the ways we can help make it easier for people is to present the truth to them. Whether you go door to door, and I believe Jesus established that, to go into the world, go out and find them, bring them in, amen. In the track rack out there, you're going to find these tracks. For God so loved the world. Well, you can give that to somebody, and God can use that to get them saved. This one here, not every road takes you where you want to go. This is a dead end. You might be going toward a dead end. Let me tell you a road that leads to heaven. That's the road you want to be on. Okay, still church. Why we do what we do at the Lighthouse Baptist Church? We're still church, amen? We want to continue to lift up the standard in music, lift up the standard in dress, lift up the standard in every area of life. It's not our standard, it's His standard. We're just lifting it up. Still church. God bless America. What's made America great is God's blessings. In order to have God's blessings, you have to lift up His standards. Amen. Yeah. Now that you're a Christian, what do you do now? There's more to just life as a Christian than getting saved. There is steps that God wants you to take in order to identify with Him and then get involved in the church and do the things that God has you here to do. Listen to me. These tracks, that will help lift up the standard. That'll help bring people to Christ. That will make it easier for them to get on the right road. It's out there in the track racks. Why we use the King James. You need to know that. If God's given us a standard, and standard is based upon His word, we have to have His word to base the standard on. If we don't believe we have His word, then we will make up a standard and we'll make up a word. But we have to have His word. And our standard that we live by is based upon His word. Why Baptists are not Protestants? There's a lot of Baptists in churches today, in Baptist churches today, that do not understand that we are not Protestants. Protestants came out of the Catholic Church. We have never been a part of the Catholic Church. We have always been lifting up the standard. We've always based our beliefs on the Bible, not upon religion. You need to use those. They're available to you. Run them out. I mean, take as many as you'll use. We'll replenish them. Why? Because part of what we can do to help lift up a standard. Then keep the church doors open so that we can teach and preach the Word of God to help lift up a standard. Yeah. Then lastly this morning, lift up God's standard. Don't make up your own. Biblical separation. Conformity to the world. Society changes. Societies have changed. My goodness. Go back 2,000 years ago. Dress would have been totally different in society. What Satan was using in society 2,000 years ago, not using today because he's got advanced tools to use today. He's got a lot more technology to work through today. Society changes, but scriptures are designed for all ages. Amen. Until the end of the world. Don't lose sight of that. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. The Bible was written, preserved, designed by God to be as prevalent in the 21st century than it was in the first century. It's very clear for us if we look to the Bible to be able to lift up the standard in the 21st century, things that we're dealing with, as it would have been in the first century society and the things that they were dealing with. Right and wrong is to be determined by God's standards, not the preacher. Not the church, not the government. God's standards. And as those who know Jesus Christ and believe this is his church, we must continue to lift it up for the people. What better way for us to lift it up than to model it. Jesus came to model God's standards for Christianity until the end of the world. Can I challenge you, church? Let's know what his standards are. And let's be dedicated to lifting it up by modeling it for others to see Christ in us. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. As we think about what we've just heard, as we understand it is exactly what God has for us today, are we doing our part to lift up the standard for the people to see? You can't really model Christ unless you have Christ in you. You might be here this morning and you don't know for sure that you have been through the gates that God has established for salvation. Get that settled. Get that settled this morning. Once you have that settled, are you modeling God's standards? If not, I'll be determined to start today. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of Scripture. And I pray, God, as we preach what you have us to preach today, that it would be used and applied by all that's heard it. God, what our nation needs more than anything else, what our world needs more than anything else, is watchmen lifting up a standard, your standard. Bless in this invitation, in Jesus' name.